Current state on 90.5 WKAR. There's a lot of buzz these days about drones. Unmanned aerial vehicles have a range of uses, from military and police surveillance to search and rescue. In private hands, drones are purely recreational toys for some people, but others are capitalizing on their economic potential. Current state's Kevin Lavery logged some flight time with drone enthusiast Ryan LaTourette. Founder of his own startup, Capital Drones, LaTourette unabashedly labels himself a techie.
I have to have the latest, greatest thing. So I have a robotic lawnmower. So let's let a robot mow the lawn, just like a Roomba would vacuum a living room. A little fun just doing different things with computers to try to make life interesting.
Well, a lot of people have electronics as a passion, as a hobby, but you've gone further and you've actually begun to make your own business. That's a leap all by itself.
Yeah, in a way it is. When I started doing this, that was the idea of I would have some fun. I would get to see a different perspective, throw up drone in the sky, see what lug nuts look like, the ballpark, what it would look like from the air. And then as I continued to do that, people would say, can I have that shot on my living room wall? And, well, let me investigate that. I don't know. And finding out, well, the FAA doesn't really like that. And so I held off as long as possible. And the FAA came through with some rulemaking process, starting to look at bringing commercial operators into the business. And I thought, now's the time to turn it over into a business.
And we'll touch upon some of that, too, in a second. But I'd like for you to explain what you have here. Show me some of the gear. Let's start with the biggest drone you have here that's sitting on the ground.
So, yeah, this is the DJI Inspire. This weighs about 9 pounds. It's a pretty good size. I want to say about a foot and a half by foot and a half. It's very much capable of getting in the air. We've got an airplane flying here right now. I could easily go into his path. This will fly about a half a mile into the sky. I can fly it 2.5 miles away from me before I lose connectivity. And it is entirely GPS enabled. So I can have it fly autonomously. I can pull up a Google Maps, say fly here, 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 take off and let it run. Or I can fly it and tell it, hey, I want you to come back home, and it'll fly right back home, land exactly where I started.
Well, let's get your best racehorse out of the gate.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to have a step back for a moment. This thing does have some 10-inch rotors on it, and turning at 6,000 RPM, it could cut off a finger. We don't want to do that. Up away.
Wow, that thing's got some fast takeoff. It was about 7 or 8 feet above our heads, and it just zoomed up.
Yep, this thing will travel at about 50 miles an hour, so it can definitely move. Right now, we're only about 60, 70 feet.
And everything is electronic. There's no fuel, so to speak.
That's correct. The only fuel is electricity out of the battery. And you can see here on the iPad, I'm looking down at one of the holes. We have a golfer trying to put it in. We've got a pretty good view of him as well as the sandbars around him.
We have the view that this golfer wishes he had.
Yeah, he's sitting in the golf cart. He's missing all the action. We're going to take it up here a little bit and kind of get a layout of the land. I have a gimbal on here that allows me to push this out such that we get a larger view picture of the area.
Now, a gimbal is something akin to a gyroscope, I believe?
So think of it as I want to keep the camera always level or under control. So as the winds buffet the drone, the gimbal is going to keep that camera nice and level. Here that I'm flying in GPS is keeping me at one particular point in time. So I can literally turn this thing and it's not going to move. You can see I'm turning the drone and the picture on the iPad has not moved.
We're talking with Ryan LaTourette, who is the CEO of his own startup, Capital Drones, and we're at Grosbeck Golf Course in Lansing flying his top-of-the-line drone. We mentioned the FAA a bit earlier, Ryan, and that has been an issue for a few years since drones have become a phenomenon. People have had concerns about security, about privacy. We've had a couple of breaches on the White House lawn just this year with drones. But it seems that the climate is changing to make entrepreneurs like you better able to get in the door with this technology.
I'm going to say yes and no. The FAA is still working through their rules process, and the notice and comment section that they've just put through on the new rules is still probably 18 to 24 months away from having those rules in place. The FAA has really been behind the game on this. Even the Canadian equivalent of the FAA has put forward rules and put those in place nationally. The FAA is still lingering on that topic. So from a business standpoint, it does make it difficult. There are definitely some contested areas as to what is going to be a rule, what's not a rule currently, and I have to kind of navigate that with my lawyers. I can have kids fly this. And I think that's one of the reasons the FAA is concerned. You know, they have a lot of hobbyists out there, just like the guy crashing on the White House lawn, who really don't know what a TFR is, a temporary flight restriction. They don't know what the rules are around flying near airports. And so they really can put the national airspace in jeopardy. You can see here, I'm not flying anywhere close to where an airplane could. I try to stay under the regulations. The regulations currently are 500 feet. I try to stay well under that so I'm not in anybody's airspace.
That in mind, Ryan, does the FAA essentially regard you as a pilot and hold you to very similar standards that a private or a commercial pilot would be under?
Yes and no. So right now, the way that they have it set up is that hobbyists can fly these at will. As long as they are under 400 feet, they can contact the air traffic control if they're within 5 miles of a tower. And there's really no other limitations. Those are all guidelines. They're not enforceable actions. And then as far as commercial, they've put forward that no, they don't believe that you should have commercial rights. And as long as you're flying as a hobbyist, you're okay. So it's a real paradox that has to be resolved.
Well, show me some more what this thing can do.
So we're going to bring it down here just a tad. We'll turn it around and let's shoot it out over the golf course a bit. See what's happening. Here you can see I'm flying at about 40 to 50 miles an hour right now, and it is moving. Definitely getting away from us. We're able to see the live video on screen. The birds even look like they're chasing it at this point. And I can navigate this in any direction. That's one of the nice things, you know, with the fixed-wing aircraft, they can't turn on a dime. This really can. I can pretty much take this any which way at any given time. Right now we're kind of doing a hexagon around an area that's 160 feet away from us. Still line of sight.
I'm thinking about the paranoia of the 1940s, 50s, 60s with aliens and Roswell, and we're creating our own UFOs these days.
Yeah, some people say that. So, you know, if you think about it, a lot of people are concerned about the privacy issues of having drones in the sky. Here we're right now, looks like we're still back at 60, 70 feet in the air. I'm going to turn this back around so that we can see these guys on the ground. And maybe you can describe for me how they look.
Right now, I just see the golf cart, and it's turning a little bit. Okay, here we go. I'm getting a little bit of glare on the screen.
Oh,
so
sorry.
That's okay. All right. Yeah, that's a golfer.
It's a golfer.
It's about all I can tell you right now.
And yet, you know, here we are at 60 feet. He pretty much looks like an ant almost. You know, if we're getting a little bit more distance to us, here's another guy getting into his golf cart. We can see now that he's moving, but I can't see him as a driver. So if I'm going to park this outside of somebody's house and feel like I need to spy on them, I'm not going to get a very good shot. And I think if you were to hear us, we're about 100 feet away. You can still hear this thing. It sounds like a nest of angry hornets. So it's not like I'm going to sneak up on somebody and surveil them.
Where do you see drone technology going, you know, using its powers for good and not for evil?
Well, yeah, so I'll start to say, you know, with the good and not for evil, I really look at these things and think, they have the capability to do so much that we haven't yet even thought of. I mean, when we think about Amazon wants to do deliveries with them, or search and rescue operations that could take place, those are the simple things that we think about. And then expand that out. These could be flown over a forest fire to determine, you know, where the best place is to drop firefighters to stop that that progress. They could be used to look down into the bottom of the ocean along the shoreline to be able to spot marine life or some other type of concern. So I think we've yet to explore even the tip of what these things can accomplish.
Ryan Lauderette is the CEO of a new startup, Capital Drones. We've been watching his drones fly around Grosbeck Golf Course. Ryan, thanks for a pleasant afternoon.
Kevin, thank you. It's been a pleasure to fly with you and talk about drones.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.